Stand, please. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 10-7170, Henry and Dixon, now the judge for the District of Columbia. There's a letter here from the appellate, Ms. Anderson, for the appellate.
Good morning, Your Honors. Plainly stated, this is a case about motorists in the District of Columbia who are subject to different penalties for the exact same offense. What we alleged below was that individuals who were observed by officers without a camera, speeding in excess of 30 miles per hour over the speed limit, were not only subjected to arrest, but it was required that they be arrested. Whereas individuals who were observed by officers with cameras were not subjected to arrest, and in fact were only given a civil penalty. And because of this obviously different treatment or disparate treatment, it was the plaintiff's position that this was a constitutional violation of their rights. In other words, individuals.
Whose rights?
Of those motorists, of those individuals who had been subjected to arrest.
So everybody should be arrested?
Either, not that they should be arrested, they should be subject to the same penalties. We're not saying that you have to be arrested or you have to be given a fine or whatever. The government is at liberty to establish whatever penalty it chooses, and if it's a range of penalties, it has the discretion to enforce or not enforce certain provisions of that law. What we're saying is that you have to be subject to the same penalty, and that's the problem here. Not that you can be arrested, because you can be if that's what they decide, but when you are not subject to the same penalty for the same offense, that is a constitutional violation. And when the trial court made a determination that the plaintiffs had not set forth a claim for relief, it is our position that that was an error. And if he had accepted all of the facts that the plaintiff alleged and all reasonable inferences that could be drawn from, the plaintiff clearly had established a cause of action upon which relief could be granted.
So what's the penalty for driving more than 30 miles an hour of the speed limit while a police officer is observing you with a radar gun, I guess?
Arrest.
Or following you. What's the penalty for that?
$300 fine, up to a $300 fine, 90 days in jail, and automatic arrest.
Okay.
If you are observed by an officer with a camera, the penalty is a civil fine. You are sent a letter in the mail telling you that you have to pay a fine by a date certain.
What about just a camera? Why is it an officer with a camera? Why isn't it just a camera?
It could be either or. But the argument that was made below was that it was only the people who were subject to arrest were those who were committing this violations in the presence of an officer, which is not true, because you're in the presence of the officer if the officer has a camera. And so there was no distinction, and that is the distinction that the trial court tried to make, was that because probable cause existed because this offense occurred in the presence of the officer, probable cause existed for the arrest, and therefore those individuals who had committed such offenses were not similarly situated as to those with respect to a camera.
When you say an officer has a camera wouldn't tell the officer how fast somebody's going.
Well, the camera, it's a camera with a radar.
It's an officer with a radar.
Well, it's an officer with a radar and a camera.
Yeah.
Right, but the radar is also attached to the camera that doesn't have an officer there. The only distinction between the two groups is if the officer, if the offense is committed in the presence of the officer with a camera, you will not be arrested. If the offense is committed in the presence of an officer without a camera, you will be arrested.
In the situation where the officer is looking into a camera, you have no probable cause to arrest anyone because you don't know who it is.
Well, if you stop the vehicle, you know who it is.
Well, he's sitting somewhere. He's not sitting right there, is he?
Oh, yes. That's the point. They're mobile mounted cameras, and they're sitting on the side of the road. And if you've traveled in the District of Columbia, you see them all the time. They sit on the side of the road, and sometimes they have lights flashing, sometimes they don't. But they're sitting there with a camera, and what they do is they observe to make sure that the equipment is functioning properly and it continues to function. And those officers then certify that the camera was functioning at the time, and therefore you are subject to the civil penalty. But the point is, while that officer is sitting there, you have committed this offense in that officer's presence. And so to try to make the distinction that the only reason that these individuals are subjected to arrest is because it was in the officer's presence is just not, is disingenuous, because that's not what happens. What it is, and it's not a law enforcement tool, it doesn't enhance any legitimate goal of the district other than, obviously, it's a cash cow. But that is not a legitimate interest when you're talking about infringing upon a fundamental right of freedom.
What the district's advanced its interest in efficient use of its police manpower.
Well, when you say efficient use of police manpower, if you got a man there posted anyway, it's not more efficient to watch people speed than it is to stop people from speeding?
Sure it is. You can watch 20.
But you don't have to watch them because the camera is automatically taking it. All that officer is doing is watching to ensure that equipment is functioning. That officer is not taking a picture. He's not there snapping a shot. This is an automatic camera that's mounted in a car.
So they've decided that it's efficient to have someone monitor the camera, and that changes everything?
It doesn't matter. It may be more efficient, but is that a legitimate interest? The question here is...
Wait, did you just doubt that that's a legitimate interest?
Yes, especially when you're talking about infringing upon a constitutional right of an individual.
Well, that's a different question. But first, do they have a legitimate interest? And you don't think efficiency in the use of their resources is legitimate?
Well, efficiency in terms of resources, yes, it would be a legitimate government interest, but it is not a more efficient process. You don't need more manpower. That person is going to be there anyway. Now,
he's not going to be there if he has to go chase everyone who's triggers the camera, it violates the 30-mile limit.
Well, I think that there are ways that you could handle that without having that person chase everyone. I mean,
either goes and makes a stop, or he leaves it to the camera.
Well, the camera is only taking a photograph, as
right,
I said.
Right. But so if you get a civil summons or something,
right?
So why isn't? I don't understand why that's not a self-evidently efficient use of their resources, or more efficient. Or within their discretion to think it's more efficient.
Because you're not cutting down on your manpower.
Well, you're increasing your summons.
You're increasing your revenues.
Well, wait a minute. You're decreasing the number of people who are fined and deterred from future violations.
Well, I think that is the misnomer. How do you deter someone from speeding if you don't tell them about it for weeks at a time? If I'm speeding and you don't tell me that you have observed me speeding for weeks, you haven't deterred me. I'm left to continue speeding.
I haven't deterred you for the first few weeks. For the rest of your life, I've deterred you.
But you haven't deterred me that day. You haven't deterred me. You haven't stopped me. You haven't slowed me down. You have done nothing that day.
Well, but surely in a number of spots, we know that there are observation places, and we're deterred by that knowledge.
Yes, we do.
All right.
I mean, so...
Just having this system on the streets is a deterrent.
Well, that's just like having police on the street.
Exactly.
If you have police on the street, but again, you don't change the manpower requirements.
What if you had police on the street and they were instructed not to arrest people for jaywalking because it wasn't worth their time? The police just being there would still deter jaywalking. People aren't going to cross the middle of the street and walk into the arms of a police officer.
I understand that, but the penalty is not changed for those individuals, and that's the problem. We're not saying...
It's a constitutional problem.
Right. We're not saying that if you're jaywalking, if you say that if you jaywalk in front of a police officer, you are subjected to 90 days in jail. But if you jaywalk and you are caught by a camera, you are subject to a civil penalty. That's wrong.
So your proposition is that it's unconstitutional if two people who commit the identical crime are subject to different penalties?
Yes, sir. Yeah. If you're subject to different penalties.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your argument here is based on, it seems to have a different thrust than your argument in your brief, because I read your brief as saying the photo enforced versus the police enforced. And now what you're saying is the police observing on the one hand and the with a photo system and the police observing with just a radar gun.
I think that if I have given you that impression, then I have not been very clear. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that there aren't two separate things. The photo and the photo is part of the automatic traffic enforcement system. So you have a photo gun that also gives you a speed. So you're not talking about two separate things. In other words, when this equipment is mounted in a vehicle, it takes a photograph and it registers the speed of what it has photographed. So what we're saying is the fact that you have that system in place, if there is an officer in that vehicle with that system, not only is your speed captured by...
Yeah, I understand. But what I'm a little bit confused about, and maybe I'd ask the District of Columbia, but I'll ask you, and then you can respond on rebuttal. The District of Columbia, you said, defended on the basis that police are only entitled to make a traffic arrest, I guess. It must be a traffic arrest if they personally observe the speeder. Right?
That was their argument, yes, sir.
That was their argument. But in the situation in which the police officer is using the automatic, traffic enforcement device, he's actually testing it and so on and so forth. He is, in fact, observing the speeder. So by that reasoning, even though he's not making the arrest, he has the authority to do it.
He has the authority, and there's a general order that requires him to do it, which we also talk about in terms of the complaint, that not only are you supposed to or that you are subject to arrest, but by general order, if you observe someone who is traveling in excess of 30 miles an hour, you are required to make an arrest.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stacey Anderson on behalf of the district. I think where I want to begin is with the standard of review that's applicable here. This is rational basis review. The district disagrees that there's a constitutional issue at play here. There is no constitutional right where you have multiple statutes that apply to a particular course of criminal conduct to pick and choose which statute the government may or must prosecute you under. That is with the government's discretion. In this case, the district elects in certain circumstances to only issue civil citations because it is a cost-effective deterrent. The district has determined as a matter of rational
Well, I don't understand that. If a photo-enforced picks somebody up doing 40 miles over the speed limit, and somebody else is observed by a police officer doing 40 miles over this. One is subject to 90 days in prison, the other isn't?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, why is that?
Well, in the case of the unmanned photo cameras, the officers don't have probable cause. They don't actually get the information about the driver. What they do is they
right away, the license plate. But they get it later.
Well, they don't know who's driving the car at the time. And again, but just because, again, the government can have two different systems penalties for the same criminal conduct. And then, again, given the district's strong interest in deterring speeding and its belief that the cameras do effectively do that by reaching a greater number of persons through the civil citation system.
Well, you have three systems, then, apparently. You have the observation camera that is not manned by an officer. Is that right?
That's my understanding, yes, Your Honor.
Well, the arguments are getting confusing to me on this. My understanding was that I've seen them. I think I've gotten one ticket on MacArthur Boulevard or somewhere. There are no manned officers. There's just a camera up on a post.
Correct, Your Honor.
That's a non-manned.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Then you have some apparently where they're manned.
Correct.
The officer sitting there.
Correct.
And then you have just an officer sitting.
Correct.
With,
an officer.
Without radar. Or,
on routine patrol.
So, I mean, isn't. Now tell me with respect to the manned.
Yes.
How do you justify on any terms identical crime but different penalties?
Right.
Substantially different penalties.
Right. Your Honor, the manned systems are mobile, and what they're designed to do is to move around the city, unlike the fixed cameras where they're fixed in place. So
forget the fixed cameras
right.
Now. I'm going
I understand.
An officer without and an officer with.
Exactly, Your Honor. The officer with the camera has been assigned to a particular area in the city to target that area for enforcement. And it's the district's view that by issuing a series of civil infractions to as many people as we can get in that particular targeted area, that is much more effective a deterrent than it is to have a single officer to arrest a single person. And it is a labor-intensive process, the arrest. The officer must take the person into custody, leave the scene, process that person, and that's, you know, you reach one individual, two individuals a day, whereas with the camera system, you can reach many, many more individuals. So the district is elected.
But that explains
the decision.
Explains why you'd rather do it that way to get more people. It doesn't explain to me why the penalties are different.
Well, Your Honor, again, the
substantially different.
They're different, Your Honor. Yes.
They're substantially different.
They're substantially different, but many, many offenses have a range of penalties that the district, in its discretion, can elect to pursue. There's nothing unconstitutional about that. Range of sentencing. We can seek for one individual a lower sentence.
Individuals are performing exactly the same illegal act. I want to go back. You said that the distinction's based on the idea that the police don't have probable cause because they don't know who's driving.
That's in the case of the unmanned.
Let
me give you a hypothetical. Let's suppose there's a warrant out for John Q. Smith, right? And a police officer observes an automobile with darkened windshields driving through the District of Columbia and looks it up, and it's registered to John Q. Smith. Does the police officer have probable cause to stop that car?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. Well, isn't that exactly the same situation? Probable cause doesn't mean certainty. So if an automobile registered to John Q. Smith is doing 40 miles an hour and is over the speed limit and is photographed doing that, why doesn't the same thing apply?
In the case of an unmanned camera, Your Honor, the officer is not present for the offense. And in order to arrest for a misdemeanor offense such as that, the officer needs to obtain a warrant or be present for the offense. And since he's not present and we don't have probable cause at that point, because we don't know who was driving, the officer didn't observe the driver. All we have is the license plate.
If you know who it's registered to, why doesn't that give you probable cause that the owner is driving the car?
I guess arguably
it doesn't mean mean that somebody else might not be that, but that's not the test of probable cause.
But again, Your Honor, the district has made a determination not to go to that effort to arrest every single person.
Well, this is prosecutorial discretion,
right.
And it's not compelled, it doesn't seem to me.
Correct, Your Honor, and that's our position. The district has the discretion to make that decision, to choose among the enforcement efforts that are available, to exercise its discretion in a particular situation, to choose which enforcement.
I'm still not getting I just want to need to hear it again. I'm not getting, forget the unmanned camera. I have a situation now where there's an officer sitting there.
Correct.
With a camera and an officer sitting there without a camera.
Correct.
And you somehow are suggesting, and I'm really not sure on what terms. I can understand you get more with the camera, but I don't understand how a substantially, can you give a life sentence
No, no.
I mean, I don't understand the justification.
You deter more people. By issuing a civil sanction, 100 civil sanctions in one day will have more of a deterrent effect than one single arrest.
You have the officer who doesn't have the camera issue a civil sanction, too. In other words, why aren't they coterminous in the penalty, Greg?
Because they don't have to be, Your Honor. I mean, the district has a right to have multiple.
Is it really that whimsical? Is the test, I realize rational basis not much, but is it that whimsical? Because we don't feel like it.
Well, no, it's not because we feel like it. I think I've articulated a rational.
No, you haven't. To me. You probably have, but I haven't heard it. So what is it with the, in other words, why doesn't the person who gets stopped by the officer who didn't have the camera subject to exactly what the person, the officer sitting there with the camera, did exactly the same thing, same way, and one is entitled to go to jail, or one may go to jail, and the other gets a note saying pay $50 or whatever you have to pay.
Your Honor, again, you can have multiple sanctions for the same criminal conduct. That is not unconstitutional. The district has determined in some instances that arrest is warranted, and in other instances it's not. And I think, again, because of the deterrent effect through the citation system, the district is free to adopt that system with respect to some defendants and not others.
What about the schedule of fines? It's $300 if a police officer observes you and stops you?
It can up to 300. It's
up to 300. What is it if the camera?
Up to 250.
And no,
what's the sense of that?
It depends on the amount you're over the speed limit, Your Honor.
Well, okay, you're over the speed limit 30 miles an hour, and you're photographed doing it, and you're over the speed limit 30 miles an hour, and a police officer stops you. One is 250, and the other is 300.
That's my understanding, Your Honor. Yes, up to 300.
And the other one is with potential jail time.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. Again, there's nothing unconstitutional about the government picking a sentence for this offense at jail time and not giving that sentence.
That isn't the question. The question is how do you explain the disparity?
The disparity is a cost one, Your Honor. It is less labor intensive, more cost efficient to issue the civil citation
for
100 people.
For 250 versus 300? Why?
Your Honor, I didn't set those fines. Because it's a civil infraction, I suspect that it not an offense for which there was an arrest. I don't know that. I don't know what the legislative history is for that. There may be some explanation in that, Your Honor. I just don't know. But again, we're at rational basis review. And the question is, can the district elect where there is a range of penalties for a particular criminal act not to impose the maximum in each instance?
It's not even within the realm of possibility on the camera, officer camera. There's no match.
Well, I can't say that in some instance, Your Honor, that an officer observing someone speeding while manning a camera won't make an arrest.
No. I'm saying in that situation where all you're getting is a civil sanction, the civil sanction is never going to match the possibility. There's no range. The civil sanction is always going to be dramatically different and lower as a matter of possibility.
As a matter of possibility, right. Yes. That's correct, Your Honor, as a matter of possibility. That is true. Court has no further questions. Yes, that you affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lattimore?
I just want to address one.
Mr. Lattimore, you've used all your time. Just a moment. Do you have any questions for me? No. I should give you 1 minute.
I just want to clarify that the only rational basis that they have is we reach more people. I mean, in the context of what they're talking about, we reach more people, and so you generate more income. But that's not a rational basis for having this such large disparity in treatment of these individuals. And as a deterrent, there is no way that you can legitimately say that you deter people by sending them a ticket 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the fact.
If you send many people a ticket 2 or 3 weeks after, enough people a ticket 2 or 3 weeks after the fact,
assuming that person is driving,
you should be able to have as much or more deterrence as you would sending penalizing a smaller number of people immediately.
If you assume that the person you're sending it to is driving,
well, a certain number of them will not be. But okay, so 90%, take off 10%.
What we submit is that the deterrent
that burdens on the registered owner.
That is absolutely true.
And more than that, I mean, anybody who has an iPhone is deterred immediately. because there's an app called Trapster that tells you exactly where all the red light cameras are and all the speed cameras are in the District of Columbia and every other city in the United States.
And you're absolutely right about that one too, Judge Rado. Yeah. You're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
So if there are no other questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson, thank you very much. Case is submitted.